Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I refuse to call them anti-vaxxers. I prefer the positive approach and just call them pro-diseasers. And the the pro-diseasers out there who don't believe in vaccinations, don't believe in science,
yeah.
And are huge fans of measles, mumps, rubella, whooping cough, etc.
Big fans.
There are consequences to this behavior. We know that in the state of Arizona, and I learned this from Pamela sitting in that chair, not Barry Markson, who I see today, whose sister works in education, that if there is a outbreak of one of these communicable diseases, anyone who is unvaccinated or cannot prove that they were vaccinated with some documentation,
right,
for any reason, is not allowed to go to school. I'm assuming this has less to do with they care about your precious little snowflake and more the liability of letting your unvaccinated child become infected and the damages that they may suffer.
Well, and I think it's also – it goes to what they call group immunity or horde immunity.
Herd
immunity. Thank you.
The horde immunity would be much better.
When I think of
– Oh, that's like the Game of Thrones immunity.
When I think of an elementary school full of kids, I think of it as more of a horde.
Okay. So, fair enough.
But that's the idea of immunization is if you immunize everybody or almost everybody, the likelihood of the disease coming back – goes down.
And there's a percentage, I want to say it's like 94%. There's literally a number that herd immunity works at, and if you dip below it, it doesn't work. Well, we know that in Arizona, that you, as a parent, if you choose, you're a pro-diseaser, and you don't want to vaccinate your child, and there's an outbreak at school, you're responsible for your own kid.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we have the pro-disease community out there fighting against this. This one, though, is in Kentucky, where an 18-year-old senior who is a pro-diseaser, family's pro-disease, unvaccinated, right?
Yeah.
They have a measles outbreak at school. And he has been told, you can't come to school because you're not vaccinated. And he is suing for the permission to come and become infected by the measles at school.
Yeah. I mean, they've got 32 kids infected by this at this school.
That's not just one.
And they're right. I mean, it's a problem. This is a major problem. And by the way, measles kill people. This is not just that you get some pimples on your face and then it goes away.
Prior to the vaccine being commonplace, it was like 500 kids a year died of measles.
Yeah. I mean, this can be serious stuff.
Sure.
And So obviously they've got a bunch of people there who don't do the vaccine, and the school said, all right, and this school didn't even say you can't come back. He said he can't come back and play basketball, right? Like you're not allowed to do extracurricular activities. They're just trying to limit it a little bit if they can. So he files suit to come back to force them to let him back in.
Now, just to be clear, the 18-year-old boy who is suing the basically the Northern Kentucky Health Department because he's a pro-diseaser. And because there's a measles outbreak, he's not suing because he's missing out on English class.
No.
He's not suing because he's falling behind in his algebra homework.
Right.
He's suing because he wants to play basketball his senior year.
Yeah.
Let's get to the root of this. So not only is he a pro-diseaser.
Yeah.
He goes to high school basically so that he can play basketball, and he's upset that he's going to miss basketball games because of a measles outbreak.
And it's just the last couple of games. He's been playing for the season. It's just the last couple of games, and he describes it as, quote, pretty devastating.
Oh.
I mean, you go through 4 years of high school playing basketball. You look forward to your last few games.
Now, if only there were a solution, if only there were a way that he could attend school and play basketball and not be exposed to the measles and or help it spread around the school. Well, apparently it's a conundrum. We just don't have any solution whatsoever.
There's nothing we can do.
The pro-diseasers, and you can only imagine this could happen in Arizona because, again, in Arizona, if you are a pro-diseaser and you are not vaccinated, and there is – now, some of them aren't vaccinated because of medical exemptions. But
okay.
Still, if there's an outbreak at school, your kid can't come to school. You, the parent, are responsible for whatever it is. And
right.
I want to say it's like a 21-day here in Arizona. It's 21 days from the outbreak. And if there are new cases, it keeps resetting the 21-day clock.
Oh, really?
So you could be out of school for quite some time.
Right.
Either because of your immune system being compromised in some way, shape, or form, and you have a medical exemption, or you're a pro-diseaser and you don't believe in science. Either one.
Yeah. The part that's crazy about this is the pro-diseasers, as you call them, the anti-vaxxers, they're not based in science. It's all just conspiracy theory stuff. And they're just not nice people. There's a story here. Apparently, this is going on. When young kids die of the flu or of measles or something like that.
Which is happening now.
Yeah. These anti-vaxxers, the pro-diseasers, they go on social media of the parents whose kid just died.
Oh, God.
And inundate them with nasty messages that you're a bad mother and that this didn't even really happen and you never had a child, because they don't want there to be news.
They're like truthers? They're measles truthers?
That's
like,
exactly.
I don't believe in measles?
Yeah. I mean, there's a story.
So they also believe in things like Bigfoot and the earth is flat, but we laugh at people like that.
It's insane. There's a woman here in the Midwest. Her 4-year-old son died of the flu.
Oh, my God.
And under doctor's orders, she's watching her other two sons like a hawk, terrified they might get sick and die too, because the flu can be serious. She goes on
30 to 50,000 people a year die of the flu.
Yeah.
30 to 50,000 people a year. And we know that the extremely old and extremely young are most vulnerable for
it. That's exactly right. And she goes on Facebook, and on her Facebook page, she finds all these messages from people she doesn't know, dozens and dozens of hateful messages. You're a terrible mother. You killed your child. You deserved what happened to your son.
Who are these people?
And she, by the way, she's not in this argument. She's not saying anything bad about the anti-vaxxers. She's just a mom whose son died. But these people so don't want evidence that people die from the flu
or measles. From a lack of vaccines.
Right, because that goes against the facts.
The science continues to disprove their bizarre conspiracy theories of, you know, the moon's made out of green cheese and Bigfoot is alive and well and lives amongst us.
Yeah, don't bother me with the facts. So now they're insulting, they're offending these poor parents who just lost their kids. It's insane. These people are really crazy. I think they're certifiable.
Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes today, and I'm just I take little victories where I can get them, Barry. And the fact that you're adopting the pro-diseasers over the anti-vaxxers label.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
You think we can get it to catch on?
I think we could do it.
Because let's be honest with what they are. I mean, they are pro-disease.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you're anti-vaccine, it's just like, I'm anti-science. I don't believe in gravity. I don't care if you believe in it. It's true whether or not you believe in it.
Right.
Vaccines work whether or not you believe in them. The measles is real and kills people whether or not you believe in it.
Right.
Your thoughts, your feelings, your unscientific, ignorant beliefs are irrelevant to the discussion among sane people.
It just bothers me that so many people get wrapped up in this conspiracy stuff that's not built in facts. And we're not that far away, Bruce. We're just a few decades away from when these diseases were killing major percentages of people.
So I wonder, is that the problem? Have we been too good? Have vaccinations been too good at preventing deaths of children, young adults, elderly, measles, mumps, rubella, whatever it is.
We forget.
That we forgot what it was like when your child, when you'd sit around staring at your child, gee, I hope they don't get measles and die.
Or polio.
We eradicated it, for goodness sakes.
Right.
How do we do that? It wasn't through thoughts and prayers. I can tell you right now, it was through science and vaccines.
These vaccines were seen as, it was like a God's gift when these scientists came up with this.
They won the Nobel Prize.
Right. It was one of the most important things of the 19th or the 20th century.
We got the wheel and then vaccines.
Right. We're saving just millions of lives.
Yeah.
And now these morons.
Pro-diseasers.
thank you. They can't stop themselves. It's all conspiracy theory.
It's not real.
The government,
this never happened.
The government's forcing me to do this. The government can't tell me to do it. We've got them here in Arizona. They're right here in Arizona in our legislature, for
God's
sake.
And you are ridiculous. And feel free to send me the email, because I will call you ridiculous to your face as well. I will do however you want me to do. I will make fun of you. I will mock you incessantly, because I do not suffer fools gladly.
I'm with you 100%. They go to Twitter. They can find me on Twitter too.
Absolutely. Barry Marks and Bruce St. James were on the Twitter machine. Feel free to expose your ignorance and tell me how gravity isn't real while you're at it. What is protected free speech in this day and age? It's been a bit of a debate out there. Well, we have found recently, and a court ruled, right?
Right.
You can give the old one-fingered salute to the popo. That's right. The police can withstand getting flipped off, and apparently that's free speech.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
The number of people, I think, that get the concept of free speech and the First Amendment wrong is large.
It's a lot of them.
It's a lot of people, you know. Like when I love the ones. I get these before. Why don't you put me on the radio? You're violating my free speech by not letting me argue on the radio. Yeah, I don't think you understand how that works.
Yeah.
But there are legitimate issues when it comes to free speech. And what is it? Now, I will argue, and I can acknowledge that free speech is not an absolute. It is not. The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
So free speech is not an absolute. There are limitations to free speech, but where are they? And that line is always being defined in different ways, shapes, or form. And we have a new line that has been defined, if you will, and that is in the U.S. Court of Appeals, Sixth Circuit last week.
Right.
We have a woman. Usually it's a guy. This time it's a gal. There's always a gal, right?
Yeah. I love this because it's after a cop was trying to be nice.
She may or may not have been speeding. I'm going to give it because as a guy who likes to drive fast, she may or may not have been speeding in beautiful Taylor, Michigan. Okay? The gal involved in this, after some back and forth with a police officer, apparently gave him the old one-finger salute.
Right.
The middle finger, if you will. And she was punished specifically because of that.
Yeah, so she gets pulled over for allegedly speeding.
Allegedly, I want to point
out. And the officer's trying to be nice to her, so instead of giving her a speeding ticket, he gives her a non-moving violation.
All right? Okay.
So less of a fine.
Cut you a break.
Less points. Right. Now, maybe
you batted your eyelashes. Maybe she was hot.
I was about to say, she's probably hot, and she expected to get away scot-free. So he gives her the ticket, and as she's turning around leaving, she gives him the...
Out the window of the car.
That's
she's
right.
She's driving off, cops behind her, the old, you're number one.
Right. So immediately we're thinking she's not that bright. So the cop, as you might expect, got a little offended by that, especially after he thinks he did her a solid, right?
Right.
And he follows her.
Lights her up.
Pulls her over again and says, guess what, honey? You're getting the full ticket now.
Now you're really getting a ticket, the warning I gave you earlier.
Right, and now gives her the speeding violation, the more serious stuff, really throws the book at her.
So Barry Markson in for Pamela today, and Barry, this ends up going all the way up to the U.S. Court of Appeals.
Yeah, this goes all the way up.
Because she argued flipping off a cop is a protected free speech.
And the court said, you're right, that she is allowed, that it is free speech. She's allowed, just like she's allowed to yell something at him or say something to him, she's allowed to flip him off. And that was not a sufficient basis to pull her over. The first time was fine.
There was an infraction.
Right. The second time was not.
He could not pull her over a second time for getting the one-fingered salute. Now, here's something, and I'm sure you do. I have a lot of cop friends. And I haven't got a chance to ask them about this specifically, but I can remember conversations in the past just when they talked about, like, being a cop.
Yeah.
People flip off cops all the time.
Do they really?
Yes. My cop friends are like, are you kidding? People say things, flip. He goes, I get it all the time.
Oh,
just driving along, not even pulling people over.
They just see him and
just cars coming the other direction, give you the old one finger as you're driving by.
Oh, man.
And so most cops that I know roll their eyes at it. They're not pulling people over because you flipped them off. They're like, whatever, buddy.
Well, your friends are nicer than me.
Well, I'm just saying. But, you know, listen, that's all they would be doing, I'm guessing. I'm assuming some of my officer friends out there go, listen, it's just you get worn out.
Yeah.
But there isn't a specific ticket you can write them for flipping you off.
No, you can find it. You can always find something.
Right. There has to be something else. You get into probable cause, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think it's interesting when you talk about the limits of free speech. And as one who thinks there should be more of it, I'm on the side of the courts on this. I think you should be able to flip off cops.
I think so too, and I don't think you should. And I'm not encouraging the behavior. I think there should be respect for the officers in general. But I will say, yeah, that's free speech.
It's
expressive, and that's how we use it. I never understand how that became. How did flipping using your middle finger flipping somebody off become what it is? Why the middle
finger?
Where
did it come from?
Why not the pinky?
I'm gonna have to Google it.
It's
now
crazy.
You're gonna make me Google like the origin of flipping people off
because
it is an American thing because they have different gestures, if you will, in other countries.
Right.
So we've got that's ours.
It's a cultural thing.
We own it.
Right. Even the words. Right. Like you say a bad word that we're not allowed to say on the radio,
and the other word that's commonplace words in other places.
It's the oddest thing, but we've decided that's a bad thing. But in any case,
what if you use a European gesture or an Asian gesture against a cop? I wonder if that's to protected free speech. I'm assuming
is it not free speech if they don't know what it means? What is that? How does that work then? If nobody knows what the gesture means, is it still speech?
And here's the lesson Barry, that I take from this, and the lesson that this court, I think, is trying to teach people, is once again, free speech, as is defined in the Constitution, and the protections in the First Amendment are meant for speech that is disagreeable, speech that is controversial,
yeah,
speech that may offend, flipping off a police officer.
Right.
And that's what it's there for. The First Amendment is not there to protect people from saying good morning and hi, how are you?
Right.
It is specifically for the questionable stuff in there.
And that the government can't come in.
And specifically, government can't stop you.
Right. The government can't tell you, you can't do that to the government, which a police officer is, because I don't like it. The government can't tell you what you can and can't say.
Please,
in most cases.
Please do not use this as an excuse to flip off more cops today.
Maybe we should start National Flip Off a Cop Day. Just to support free speech. It's a free speech supporting holiday.
Atlanta. That was Barry Markson that said that. I'm not going
to. I'm kidding,
of
course.
Get behind that one.
Mostly.
Be nice.
I like the police.
Full respect. Give him a fist bump. Give him a fist bump.
There you go.
Give me knuckles, buddy.
I like that better.
Some of the elite colleges and USC are responding to the college admission scandal. We'll tell you what some of the schools are doing, trying to weed out maybe some of the kids that or parents that bribed their way into school. That's coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
He is Barry Markson, in for Pamela Hughes today. And Barry, you're obviously well up to speed with this whole college cheating, bribery, admissions scandal. I don't even know where you start with it, right?
Let me try this radio thing. Turn that on.
There you go.
There's a lot going on here, and we keep hearing about the celebrities that are getting kicked
out.
Right,
because there were the two actresses in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as big a story without the two actresses from the TV show Full House.
Right. Although I'll tell you, there's a chairman of a huge law firm. There's some really wealthy people here.
There are decidedly wealthy people.
The question I've been asking since the beginning is, what do the schools do with the kids? Because some of the kids didn't know. Some of the kids just thought they applied to school and got in. They didn't know their parents were bribing and doing all these other
things. Although, there's a certain amount of...
You think they knew?
willful ignorance, plausible deniability in there?
Yeah.
Well, some of the elite schools and USC are doing something about it. USC, the University of Spoiled Children, announced... They're on to this.
Any student in this category who is wrapped up in this massive alleged bribery scheme, they might not be able to re-enroll in classes for the spring semester. They're also apparently not going to have access to their school transcripts, which could affect their transfer to schools outside of USC or even future advanced degrees. It might even affect their job application process.
I get why they're doing it. It sounds decidedly punitive, especially if one of these bought and paid for kids. And again, I'm not outraged by it, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
Not outraged in the slightest. Different people find different ways to get rich kids into schools. Okay. Yeah. If this was a crime, great. Throw the book at them, but they're hardly alone. Hardly alone.
That's true.
There are plenty of different ways they could have used their money to buy their kids into school. They just chose a bad way. But is it the students' fault?
That's what I'm asking.
If they went to class and they got grades, what, it doesn't count anymore because mommy and daddy paid $500,000 to get you into school?
Right. What if they got in accidentally? What if USC made a mistake? I knew a law firm here locally that hired a law student to come in as a clerk.
Okay.
And they got the name wrong. They had two people come in and interview. They hired the wrong guy.
The wrong one.
Their names were very close.
Similar.
And the guy showed up and everyone went, why is he here? And they realized they sent the letter to the wrong guy. But they didn't fire him. They let him hang around all summer and then they fired him.
And then they fired him. Eventually got around to
it. But what do you do with that kid? Because you're right. Let's say he's been in school for a year. Let's say he has good grades.
4.0 GPA, freshman year.
He's performed at your university.
Done what was expected.
Why do you get rid of him at this point?
Again, I mean, I get the public pressure to go after him. Now, not all of them are innocent. Let's be honest.
All right.
Some of them decidedly deserve any of the things that come their way. Specifically, you might remember YouTube, Instagram influencer, Olivia Jade. If you don't remember Olivia Jade, Olivia Jade's mommy alleged to have paid $500,000 to get her and her sister into USC. Olivia Jade, which one is that?
I do want the experience of like game days, partying, I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
Yeah.
As you guys know. She is good looking, though.
I cannot imagine what her GPA... I want to know what Olivia Jade's GPA is at USC. If it's anything over a one, she's cheating. Cheating at school.
You're right, because she doesn't need a GPA. You know where she was when her mom was arrested?
I do know.
She was on...
Because I'm a boat captain.
The chairman of the Regents yacht.
She was on the USC Board of Regents on Rick Caruso.
Yeah. Whose daughter was a friend of hers in school.
On his $250 million yacht in Bermuda.
Yeah.
On spring break.
Yeah, she doesn't care about class. She's there for game days and yachts. That's it. The biggest problem she's having right now is all of her endorsements are going away. They're all saying, we're out. So all this little influencing she was doing seems to be getting
wrapped up. Yeah, she does all this Instagram. If you're unfamiliar, and by the way, if you are, congratulations that you're unfamiliar with things like Instagram influencers and YouTube vloggers and whatnot. Yeah. That she is paid by companies... Let's put it this way. To act like a college student.
Right.
And to sell other college students products or services. And she takes all these glamorous pictures, I'll use the term loosely, in her dorm room studying away.
Right.
By the way, Barry, she is hard at work.
With her makeup or whatever she's selling
on
there.
And whatever she happens to be pushing. And so basically, the $500,000 to bribe her into USC was basically just an investment in her online persona and career, because this is not a girl that's going to get a doctorate. Okay. This is not a girl that's getting an engineering degree. She needs a setting. She needs a real life set of a college with the proper whatever comes along with it. Again, elite school and or USC. And she needs that as the backdrop so she can continue to pitch and sell products.
Just keep getting better. So did you see, by the way, one of her first pictures when she first got there before this was in the dorm and all it's all set up. And she has the initials OJ there. And people are now saying, OJ from USC, is that really what you want to have?
Literally. You get those like little letters and you can see them. You go to those little stores and I don't even know what they're called. I don't walk into them. I see them in malls and I'm like, I would never buy furniture from that store, but they have the odds and ends and they had the letters, and literally on the windowsill she has an O and a J next to each other, and I just don't think she's a fan of citrus drinks.
No.
I just don't think so.
She's just not picking it up, though. But so
she doesn't care.
But here's the question.
She is fantastically ignorant in this world.
She's easy to be the villain here and to kick her out, but for most of these kids, they're not famous, they're not influencers, they just wanted to go to school. And you got to raise this, you're right, there's other people who are in that school whose parents did things, or maybe they did things that aren't totally on the up and up.
Absolutely.
They went to the SAT and said, I've got a disability of some sort, a learning disability, I need more time to take the SAT. Their dad knows
They could afford one of these coaches for an SAT.
Right.
An expensive coach that basically help them take the test better. Is that cheating as opposed to the family that just has to say, hey, you went to high school, now go take the SAT. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, mom or dad knows somebody on the admissions committee. I mean, there's
you donated donated money to have a wing of the hospital named after your family. Do you really believe in your heart of hearts that you donate a couple of $1 million and they open up the blankety blank wing cancer center at the University of Spoiled Children Hospital, and that when your kid applies, they go, yeah, I don't think that 3.0 GPA is going to get you. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
the president of the university comes over to your house and tells you, we're so excited to have you come to school.
They're getting in. Hey, have you subscribed to the Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes Show podcast? You can subscribe now on your iPhone or your Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. I did. It's Bruce and Pamela podcast, brought to you this week by NovaCure.
Barry Markson subscribed to the Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes Show.
I did. That 1 millionth subscriber.
God love you.
That's fantastic.
You would think you would get a prize for that.
And if I just have 1 million more followers on my Twitter, I'll have 1 million followers.
There you go.
That's all I need.
We're working our way up. You and me both.
I want to be
the Twitter machine.
I want to be an influencer.
God, you say that now. A sitting U.S. congressman is suing Twitter and some Twitter users. What for? They are mean to him. We talked about free speech earlier.
Yeah.
This is going to be a hell of a test for free speech.
Yeah.
Does Twitter allow you to be mean?
Yeah.
And if he wins this case, I expect summary executions starting in the White House for being mean, all right?
If we can't be mean to politicians, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican from the Kremlin, filed a suit against Twitter yesterday, alleging, amongst other things, that the Twitter machine is shadow banning conservatives. That's a popular right-wing trope. And also, it's enabling defamatory harassment on the platform. So I'm assuming he is suing to stop Donald Trump from tweeting, right?
Well, yeah, Donald Trump doesn't insult Devin Nunes, unfortunately. He just loves him. He loves him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, Devin Nunes is doing a great job of representing Russia and its interests. But he is suing for $250 million.
Wow.
Saying that some Twitter users, including at Devin Nunes' mom, at Devin Nunes' cow, have been really super mean to him on the Twitter machine. And so he's suing. Do you think he has any idea of the irony? Do you think he's even aware of the irony?
I think he is... I don't even have to describe this guy. He was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and while they were investigating President Trump and the administration, literally brought evidence to the White House for their review,
yeah,
and then said their line afterwards. I mean, he
gets Christmas cards from Vladimir Putin.
It's like having a double agent, if you want to say that. I mean, it's absolutely.
That's why I call him the Republican from the Kremlin.
But
he's representing the Kremlin, doing a great job of doing it. By the way, sue me, Devin Nunes. I would love to go to court and prove you're not a Russian agent. Let's go. I want you to prove you're not. I want you to prove you're not in the back pocket of the Ruskies.
How embarrassing is it, though, to be a politician, to be a well-known guy like this, and sue Twitter because they allow people to insult
to
him on Twitter?
You.
It's incredible. He says that they brought shame to his family.
Shame, I call it.
He didn't bring shame. Twitter, people on Twitter. In little,
I would argue there's nothing that anybody said or did on Twitter that would bring more shame to the Nunes family than Devin Nunes.
It said on Twitter that somebody posted that he was most likely to commit treason in high school. That was his high school joke.
Like in high school, what did they write under your thing? Most likely to commit treason.
There was a cartoon image of him having a sexual act with the president and Putin. It was a threesome.
Well, I mean, hey, if the threesome fits. This gets into the whole free speech argument, Barry Markson, in for Pamela today. What are the limitations of free speech on social media? And by the way, is it Twitter's responsibility to stop people from being mean to you?
No.
They have terms of service, you know, code of conduct, and people get kicked out for threatening violence and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, this isn't really necessarily a free speech thing because it's not the government, although he's an employee of the government as a representative. It's a defamation suit, but he's a public figure. So as you well know, Bruce, people say insulting things about us all the time.
Constantly. Bring it on, by the way.
You got to let that happen.
If I woke up with 100 haters today, I want to go to bed with 150, okay? My goal is to increase the haters. I love it.
It's good to have a goal.
The fact that I can raise blood pressures and cause people to get red in the face literally is my existence. That's the reason I get up in the morning.
It keeps you alive.
It's invigorating.
But he's a public figure. He's a congressman.
He's a U.S. congressman,
he's
mad that people make fun of him on the Twitter machine. So, make fun of him for things he actually does.
So defamation is a much higher standard.
You know a little about the law.
Yeah, if you're making these kind of allegations against a public figure, the standard is much higher than if you just said it against your next door neighbor or somebody that you don't know. And also, this is satire, and it's obviously satire. Somebody published
Devin Nunes's mom as the Twitter handle. I assume there's idiots out there that really think it's Devin Nunes's mom.
Right.
But most people would know they're making fun of it.
And nobody thinks that most people don't think he's having sex with the president and Putin together. Separately, maybe, but not together.
Not as a threesome, because that passes the line. Individually, I can see it happen.
So there's all sorts of defenses here. And then Twitter, there's other cases that have dealt with the Twitter and Facebook and other things, and whether they are liable for what's published on their platform.
If he were to win, would this not expose Trump to unlimited lawsuits?
Yeah. Oh, it'd be unbelievable.
For defamation.
Yeah. Just from what he says on
Trump defames private citizens who aren't elected officials who aren't in the public eye. He defames people all the time.
I expect this is going to be this will be dismissed relatively quickly. I think it was brought.
It'll be literally laughed out of court.
Yeah, I think it's brought by people who love the conspiracy stuff, the shadow.
They're trying to oppress conservatives.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
No, there just aren't as many of you as you think you are.
All Twitter wants to do is have more people on Twitter. That's all they care about.
That
more
is their
eyeballs.
End goal, right?
More eyeballs, the more people that watch, the more money they make.
And Devin Nunez's mom knows how to bring eyeballs to the Twitter machine.
Oh, here we go.
And Devin Nunez's cow.
Just inviting the lawsuit, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know the thing with the cow is his family has a farm or something. They do a lot of
They're ranchers or farmers? I did not know that.
But it's a lot of they get government money and
they do
all this stuff that wouldn't play well with him. So they try
socialism. They get socialism. They get government subsidies.
That's right. They try to keep that as quiet as they possibly can. That's how this works.
Devin Nunez again.
It just makes him look so silly. That's the part that I
Republican from the Kremlin is suing Twitter.
That's right. Hey, join us this Friday as we broadcast. Is this going to be me? Am I going to be out there?
I don't know.
Join Bruce and Pamela this Friday.
Let's go with that.
As they broadcast live from Westworld out in Scottsdale. It's the International Sportsman's Expo and Arizona Boat Show. Head to the events page at ktar.com for complete details and your tickets.
Does recycling work? Do you recycle? Do you know what happens when the truck comes and takes that blue bin full of recyclables away? You might be surprised to find out that more and more places, more and more cities are just basically dumping it right next to the garbage in the landfill.
It's the only good thing I do, Bruce. Don't tell me that.
No.
Separating my plastics. It's the only good thing I do.
Bad news coming up next on Arizona's News Station.